Where are the three things estate agents go wrong with their money laundering? Talk to me, Michael. Yeah.
Money laundering, hot topic. Everybody, I say everybody, hopefully everybody is aware they have to go through various money laundering procedures with a client. That's somebody putting their property on the market, or indeed a buyer at the point of making an offer and agreeing a sale.
Yeah, just take a photocopy of their passport, don't you?
Well, that, of course, unfortunately, is what a lot of agents think it is. They see it as a tick box exercise of collecting ID. And the reality is that that is part of it, but that is by no means what it's all about. Because you might be Christopher Watkins, but actually what you're doing may or may not be kosher up to what it should be. And therefore, it's digging behind that. So I think one of the things is that it's often seen as an administrative tick box exercise. Often the sales staff who meet the customer, perhaps, and know what's going on, it gets passed to an administrator who has no knowledge of the transaction at all, and therefore, in my view, isn't very well placed to take decisions on what's going on. The big thing is a risk assessment, and it is a requirement under the regulations to carry out a risk assessment. And this should be documented, because you need an audit trail to demonstrate that you've actually done things. And really, it's the old thing of, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck. But if it doesn't fit those things, then actually there's something else. The other thing I get a lot of people, of course, with buyers, it's where's the money coming from is the key. I get a lot of agents say to me that, we get proof of funds. And I say, well, what does that mean? And they say, well, we see a bank statement with £1 million in it. And I say, well, yeah. So that when did it go in? When did it come out? Where did it come from? So it's not proof of funds that is crucial. It's source of funds, okay? So, that's the real key. Has the person got this money from legitimate practices?
Well, sure. What, is it the estate agent's job to be the policeman then?
Yes.
And have you heard of any agents that have been come foul of this, just looking at a bank statement saying it's £1 million, saying it's okay, and then...
All of the people who've been fined, and we're all aware of the big fine, for example, to Countrywide recently, etc., have failed in their inspections by HMRC, who supervise, on their processes and systems. And they will have failed because they haven't been asking these questions. I don't know of any estate agents that have been involved in money laundering. But of course, if you're not going through the process and asking the right questions, you could be allowing it to happen.
Okay, so the first one's risk assessment. How do we sort that out?
Well, very simple document, a risk assessment document that asks a series of questions.
So you help agents with this.
I do.
Give some tips to a few people.
Basically, if it's somebody selling, are the reasons why they're selling, do they make sense? So if somebody had, you knew somebody bought the house last year for £1 million and they wanted to sell it in a hurry for this year for £500,000, that would be a bit of a question mark as to why, and then you'd need to explore that. With a buyer, where's the money coming from? And not the fact that they've got the money, because what you've got to realise is money laundering's been around probably since Adam was a boy. The one thing that there is always in a money laundering case is what?
Money.
Money. Strange that. So you have to have the money. So they're going to have the money. They can't possibly launder it if they don't have the money. It's where it came from.
The source, as you said.
Correct. So, for example, a rich guy like you come in and you decide you're going to pay, a couple of £1 million cash. I go, it's Christopher Watkins, well-heeled guy, no problem. You're the chap, with respect, that is sweeping the streets outside my office or whatever, and you tell me that you saved up a couple of £1 million over the last couple of years. Maybe I shouldn't be believing that. And then I make some further inquiries.
How am I supposed to make those inquiries? What am I supposed to go? Because I don't want to put the buyer or seller off.
Well, why would you put the buyer or seller off if you asked a question where the money's coming from?
They'll say it's none of your business.
Right, but it is our business. Okay, so legally it is our business. I'm not suggesting this is easy to achieve in the real world. And you might take a judgment call. As with all regulation, they're not black and white, they're shades of grey. Not sure if there's 50, but there's certainly quite a number of shades of grey. And you have to take a view, and you'll reach a certain point through your questioning where you may have to take a commercial decision as to whether you do or don't. But if you can't demonstrate that you even went through that thought process and you were to be investigated or whatever, you will definitely be clobbered.
Do you think, especially in London, there's going to be some agents that will come on the wrong side of the law for turning a blind eye?
Well, they have already. I mean, you know, we've seen plenty of estate agents been fined, and that is because their processes and systems haven't been robust enough. So by definition, they are turning a blind eye because they're either not going, they're not digging deep enough.
So that come back to bring it back down to the risk assessment. The risk assessment will then provide a process that you have to follow.
You should have a risk assessment. You should have, obviously, the identity checks, including what's called PEPs and sanctions, which is politically exposed people, because these are higher risk. And basically, if you regard a case as a higher risk case, you should be doing more than if it was a lower risk case. So it's all risk-based.
It is. I mean, there are firms out there like Creedas and mm-hmm. other firms out there that you can outsource this to. Would you recommend people do that?
No, not from the point of view of the fundamental aspect. You can certainly use electronic ID checks as part of your process. In fact, the only way you're going to do a PEPs and sanctions check is with one of the online ID providers. And they're fine up to a point, but they don't meet the customer. They don't know necessarily the circumstances as to how the deal comes along.
Oh, so even by passing it on to a third party, you're still liable?
Oh, you can't outsource your responsibility.
Oh, I love that phrase. That's a great one.
You know, you can't do that. It's the buck still stops.
Who does the buck stop with? The valuer or the MD of the firm?
Well, I mean, let's face it. If you were going to punish somebody, you're going to go where it hurts the most. So you're going to go for the business, or in the case of maybe an independent, sole trader or whatever, it's going to be the owner of the business. Now, what I would have in a business with my staff is I would train them. So, in fact, that's a legal requirement under the regulations to train staff. So that's a good thing. But what I would do is make sure that, if I was training my staff, I would be checking that they knew what they were doing, monitoring it, auditing it. And I would have in my employment contract something along the lines that says, if you don't, comply with the law or something, I can come after you. Because it's unlikely that the powers that be would go after a junior negotiator. They're going to come in at the top and then work its way through.
So where can agents get this sort of training from? I'm assuming there's a long list. I mean, obviously you do. Who else offers it?
Well, in terms of face-to-face training, in terms of classroom training or whatever, occasionally the professional bodies, the NAEA, and people
the Guild do a bit of it. Not much.
There's a number of online courses that people can do, and I think the Guild provides one, and there are other organisations who do that. The only thing with those is that you don't get the opportunity of the interaction and that on a course. They're fine from a point of view of a very base level of training. But, of course, the reality is, at the base level, it's fine. When I run my courses, I invariably get loads of questions or observations from practical situations, which, bluntly, a manual doesn't deal with.
Oh, you can't learn those online, can you?
No.
Good stuff. Well, thank you very much.
Cheers.